Off the Ball Breakfast.
It's the thing Hamer always said, when I took on this Ireland gig, the one thing I could be sure about was there's going to be a bit of dog in them. Then I realised there was no dog in them.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
How's it going? And you're very welcome back to the Football Pod. There is a fairly sizable weekend of football ahead. And we're very excited, fellas, aren't we?
Absolutely.
It's
not the same.
What's not the same?
When there's nothing on. Do you know? I know the Telton was on this week and it was great, but it's not the same when the big boys aren't on. We're getting used to being spoiled for football.
The hurling Saturday night was good. Sunday was not great.
The hurling, James.
Sorry, the what? It was good. Sunday wasn't great. Saturday was good. I was buzzing for it to go to penalties.
Were you? How come?
Yeah.
How come?
Because I'd never seen it and I wanted to see what the story was. How difficult is a hurling penalty? If you had to line it up with a football penalty.
Let's put it this way, right? How many times have you hit a slitter?
I see.
Three times.
I'd say I reverted back to the tennis ball each time.
Yeah. I would randomly pick up a hurling slitter at Cratlow training the odd time and the lads just fall about the place laughing like. It's like an alien sport when I pick it up. So, you know, how hard could it be? It looks pretty hard to me from that distance.
I was an old rail hurler. I don't smash that at the top.
This is opening itself up to a football pod skills challenge. I think that's going to have to happen this summer. But
that would be good. Yeah. Multi-sport.
It's mad, isn't it? Like that, but in all seriousness, everyone in the hurling fraternity is giving out about the pedals, saying it shouldn't have went to pedals.
Why?
And they probably have a little bit more leeway than the football championship. They have a bit of time. So Cork and Kilkenny are off for a month now. They're heading off to Cancun for a couple of weeks and then coming back to play the Honour in the semi-final. Yeah. So I like the penalties. We said it. I love them with football as well. The drama, the excitement is unreal. But it seems to be, I know not everyone's mad on it in football, but definitely every single hurling pundit I've heard is saying.
Yeah, but the thing with hurling pundits is, and I'm a big fan of plenty of them, hurling pundits don't want referees. Tommy Walsh doesn't want red cards. You know, they don't want penalties.
You were there. You were there with Tommy Walsh.
You got to experience.
What was his thoughts?
You got to experience.
He's good value.
He's just top class. And his namesake was refereeing it, and he got a lot of stick. But Tommy Walsh is a big fan because he was letting a lot of it go. He was letting the flow. The game was blood and thunder, and I think it absolutely added to the occasion. I don't know if the quality was as high as the two.
There was one free on Galan in the second half where he was fouled about fucking four times. Someone came in and karate chapped him in the back. Then three lads got him with a bear hug. And I think eventually the ref goes, I have to give him a free here for something.
Keane Lynch got a shoulder in the back as well at one stage. It was Stonewall. I just saw it online.
Play away.
Would you survive, James, in that sort of a cauldron?
How do you mean?
You know, you could look after yourself, couldn't you?
If I stick, I'd have a better chance. If I stick to protect myself.
I know a couple of defenders.
The boys are animals. The hurlers are different physique to the footballers. Mm. The hurlers...
Smaller, aren't they? Smaller?
They are massive. I don't think, their GPS is... They don't
smaller.
Run as much, I don't
they
think.
They don't have to.
They can spend more time in the gym. Every one of them is an absolute animal.
Yeah,
it's just
hurlers.
Yeah,
are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Is this a wind up?
Do you not think so?
They wouldn't last 30 seconds out of the football pitch.
No, they wouldn't on a football pitch. But I'm saying in the gym, I reckon the hurlers would take the footballers.
The jibby arse.
You're going to get me banned from covering hurling games, lads. The one thing though.
What do you prefer, Tom? Football or hurling?
In a personal kind of a thing,
Yeah.
Oh, lads, I'd watch a Junior D football game over anything else in the world.
Junior D?
Yeah. I would, if it was on across the road, I'd go over and watch a junior match, 100%. Yeah. Over anything, Maybe.
So you don't like the hurling?
Maybe Ryder Cup. Maybe.
You hate the hurling as well then?
I love it. It's just is it the same as, you know, a hand pass sequence across the field, you know?
We have a few hurlers who listen to this. They're glad now. We've lost a few followers.
Well, I would say hurling is more an art form, really, than a sport. I think that's the way hurling.
It's probably not a real sport.
It's more magic, really, than an actual sport.
I'd say the
atmosphere in hurling gets to a level like nothing else.
It's unbelievable.
When it gets going, it is incredible.
I've been so lucky.
Yeah, it looked good, though, that Kilkenny Galway match at Crow Park.
That's like any game in Crow Park, buddy, apart from all Ireland semi-finals and finals. But I know I've been lucky to cover some of the most unbelievable hurling games in the last 4 years, and the atmosphere is unmatched. Like, it's ridiculous because it's a mile a minute. Like, there's so much happening every bloody moment. And trying to get, like, I have just given up on taking notes during hurling games. You're just trying to bloody follow the thing. Whereas in football, you could write a bloody paragraph in between passages up until this year.
Tell me. Yeah. Hurling final last year, Clare Cork was one of the best sporting events.
I haven't been at better.
Yeah. That's because you had about 12 pints.
I did, and a couple of bottles of wine. Drinking wine in the aisles in a hunger stand, which definitely helped. Well,
do you reckon there's competition between the football and the hurling even? Do you reckon?
No, they're totally different. Like, they can't be compared.
What do you mean, like, from whose perspective?
For the love of the country, sir. Do you know?
I think hurling is probably more adored. Like,
It's more kind of, you've more awe watching hurling than you would football. Do you know? Like, you get the skills and the athleticism and the speed of it. It does blow you away a lot more than football would at times, I suppose.
Anyone famous that comes to Ireland, they fucking give them an old hurling. It's literally.
But even if you go on holidays,
They're like, fucking Joe Biden was going down to Phoenix Park there a couple of years ago, falling over himself with a fucking hurdles, literally. There's no size 5 O'Neill's being given to him. But you know what I mean? Like, hurling is, I know we're tongue in cheek there, take the piss at the start of the show, but Saturday was magic again, like, and it's setting up. It's going to be Kenny Limerick probably said he's...
The poor ref is out for Limerick, he's out for a month.
Limerick Corker.
It's a cramp.
That rep is like Barney Clifford with his legs. Like, you can't keep it going. Like.
But you know what? If you're not blowing the whistle, you're not going to get a chance to let the lactic acid.
Yeah, you could be more tactical there as a ref and just break the game up you can take a couple of rests.
I thought he added to it big time.
Can a hurling ref just stand at the middle of the pitch?
I don't think they want.
So he's not keeping up with his litter. Like,
I don't think they want referees. Man.
He's not doing shuttle runs. Like, he's not like David Cole running up and down the pitch.
There was something I wanted to put to you now, and you're after distracting me with that little segue. But I don't know.
Is any of what we just said going into the show?
It's all in there.
Send that to the hurling.
Are you fresh off the training pitch?
Yeah, I'm taking soccer up again, back in. Yeah, Mossy's after getting me a short-term contract.
Look at that. That's lovely.
Nice top, isn't it? Yeah. Lads, you heard it here first. The football pod is big with some of the Shelburne fan base. So if you want a top, look at this tour jersey.
I thought you were going to say the Duffer.
Duffer does listen as well. He doesn't shoot it every week because he's very busy. Like,
I reckon
lovely Shells top. Chadwick's nice gear.
He'd have been a tidy number 7, the Duffer.
Some coming your way. Duffer be wing back. Yeah, he'd be made for this wing back game, wouldn't he? Like,
is that the same?
He'd play for Tyrone up and down the pitch, like an old McGeary or Myler or something like that. Yeah.
I stuck up
Is that the same Chadwick's that sponsors? Is it Wexford Park, is that?
Luke Chadwick's.
I think he's like third cousin of them, but yeah, it's the same Chadwick's building suppliers. It's a nice top down, lads.
It's lovely. It's beautiful. And
there you go.
How was only one? I thought that we were the three of us.
I was doing the demo. Don't worry, lads. There'll be nice Shells tops coming for you in a big match against Rovers this week. Coming your way.
Are you training this evening, James?
No.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All right. Okay. I just thought you maybe just back from the training pitch. There was a comment in. I threw up a little comment box on our Instagram there yesterday. The pod is coming to you a little later, but it's a bumper. It's a double pod this week. We're combining the members on our Monday pod into the one to look ahead to the big weekend. And interesting. There's always a couple of interesting comments that come in. You two boys get spotted sometimes in places where maybe you don't often frequent. And Paddy Andrews, you're the one who was caught this time. in somewhere you shouldn't have been.
Jeez.
Paddy,
I'm married with two kids now, Tommy. Come on, let's keep this clean.
Pause the recording.
Paddy Andrews.
We should talk about this often.
Paddy Andrews. I don't know where to go with this now. Paddy Andrews was spotted in Elvery Sports this week picking up a pair of boots.
Oh, is he back?
Or is that, is this back? Not true? Is it a doppelganger?
True. That's not true.
This question is the comeback on the cards.
I think that was... No, that must have been like Jamie Dornan or something.
Okay. Who was? Paddy did have a doppelganger there last year, the year before. It was some TV show. Who was it again?
Edsel.
I can't remember.
I forget who it was.
When was that? That came in yesterday. Elvery Sports. Was he in Elvery Sports? When
maybe
was
it was last week or so.
It was getting a little Hughie of football, yeah.
Okay, maybe that's what it was, yeah. It's Paul McClay. Paddy seen in Elvery Sports at the weekend. Does that ring a bell, no? Buying new boots, the comeback is on, ? So, okay.
We'll definitely have bought boots.
All right, okay. James, one for yourself. Is Jimmy packing the boots to head stateside? I know you're not allowed to say that if you're going up to the ESTA or the visa officer.
I was going to say, Fintan, how did Fintan get through? With the amount of attention he got before he left, or did they
Trump
only
follows,
did they only release
Trump
it?
Follows the Dubs, like.
But like, you think they'd be tipped off there? Like.
Jesus, James, would you give him a break?
Huh? Yeah. But sure, how did Connolly get stopped that time?
I don't know.
And a load of Kerry fellas got stopped as well one year.
Really, really.
And then the best ever was two lads. I won't name them. They were going over together, and one got on, and one was stopped. And the first fellow was gone onto the plane, sitting on the aisle, right? Have a nice drink in front of him. And they goes to the fellow who was stopped, who are you traveling with? And he told them. And they went on and took your man off.
No.
And the two of them went home. Oh, lad, the second fellow was cracking.
Oh, that is awful.
Brilliant.
That is
it is awful.
Lads, Homeland Security are going to be on about this problem.
Yeah, I think so. We might have to.
The hurlers hate us. The US government are coming for us. Jesus Christ.
No, I'd love to go to States for summer, but no.
Yeah, not going to happen.
So would I. Jesus Christ, to be back.
Did your buddy from the Galway show ever get home? Remember? The fella you left down?
Eddie,
yeah. Did he ever come home from America?
How do you mean left him down?
Do you remember you and John O'Lyon got called into the Kerry panel and he never went over with
him? Oh,
Jamie. Yeah. Did he ever come home from the States? Yeah.
He did.
Okay.
Did he go back again even?
All right.
He was grand.
Oh, okay. He's all right. He was okay. Yeah, I didn't know. Look.
Play for Kerry Boston.
We might get his taken out again. A couple of Kerry lads started the weekend for New York. Well, Bobby O'Regan did. Did you see this goal? Art Furt's Bobby O'Regan. Possibly one of the goals of the season. Like, it was absolutely reckless.
It was savage. No, they were well down at the time, so he had to kind of try something, but it was some strike.
Yeah, it was class.
There's something about a left leg as well. It's just better, isn't it?
When you're lefty, you can say that. But no, there is. There is, actually, yeah.
He just connected sweet. He was good 24, 25 yards out.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Rocket into the top corner.
But it's great to see some of those things off the cuff and a fella actually doing his own thing rather than the, every score pure coach and run down the wing and hand pass it to a fella on the loop or a cut. An inside forward thinking for himself and actually taking something on, I thought it was great to see.
Yeah.
A super goal.
Bit of that.
Brilliant goal. Probably one best goal of the year so far.
Yeah, that's Kieran Murray who actually asked that question. And then Mako Merch, there needs to be a junior grade below the Talton. It's obviously talking about the amount of hammerings that were happening at the weekend. I don't know. Is the Talton Cup doing the job it's supposed to be doing? We've seen the winners, Westmead, Downmead. They're obviously of that tier that are probably that little bit under Sam that are targeting Sam Maguire football.
But it's team holiday if you win it. Like, that should be enough of an incentive.
Of course.
But that is such a fantastic reward.
Yeah.
And then it can bring you on to a new level as well.
It's true. Some of the same teams are finishing bottom of the group every year. The last 3 years. So, a couple of other quick comments here. Something needs to be done about the promotion of the Talchin Cup. The GAA have to do more to promote it. Great competition.
Did they not see my Monday Minute? I gave it a full 60 seconds.
GAA Plus at the game.
Jimmy, cover all four games.
It's our GAA Plus. Jimmy single-handedly keeping that thing afloat with the Monday Minute. You can't throw that at the football pod. We're doing our bit.
Yeah, exactly.
We're doing our bit. for the Tartan.
Tom, I think you could up your game a little bit on Tartan.
Really?
Possibly,
what,
yes.
Agreed. What are you looking for?
Agreed.
Anything. Just show some level of interest.
More energy about it, Tommy. You throw your arse at it every week.
More energy. We're telling you the results.
We're telling you the results. Tell me who fucking won this game. I told you who won it. Like, having a fucking breeze, like you're swanning around watching the fucking hurling. Like, this is the football part.
You're cheating on us, Tom,
Jesus
with those hurlers.
That is an absolute dry point.
That's a hit. Me and Jimmy single-handedly keeping the Tantra Cup.
That is a hit and run. Quarter final at the Tantra Cup this weekend. The draw has been made.
And who's in them, Tommy? Who's in? You don't even know.
A couple of good
ones. Watch him put on his reading voice here because he doesn't have
it. Turns into Rob Burgundy, the eyes glaze
over. People are getting a real glimpse of the members of football pod here, what it's like every week. So we've got
Kildare Offaly is on, Tommy. Well,
that's going to be a double header, obviously, with the Kildare Hurlers up against the Dubs in Newbridge. Seadrill.
Throw the hurlers again. Just give the football its space.
That's going to be an interesting one. We've got Fermanagh against Sligo. That's going to be really tight. Sligo's form hasn't really been there, but, you know, maybe they're going to get cooking again. Patrick O'Connor kicking a lovely two-pointer there at the weekend. You can see Niall Murphy finding a bit of form. We've got Limerick up against Wexford too. A repeat of the Division 4 final. And then Wicklow, who obviously topped their group, are hosting Westmead. Dylan Byrne is looking for predictions for the four games. He's obviously a Wicklow man. We're home to Westmead. I'd love to see us overturn him in Aucrum. What way do you see these four games going, boys, in the Tailteann Cup quarterfinals?
Actually, Kildare Offaly is going to be a very good game. That is obviously
Division 3 league final.
Yeah,
earlier this year, Offaly bet.
With Kildare obviously having Daniel Flynn back and firing, you'd think that it would give them an extra string to their bow. Offaly are flying though, playing really good stuff, but. Actually, you know what? I actually backed Offaly in the league final, and I think they'll do it again. I think they have it over them. I think Offaly win that game.
Really?
Sligo for Manadin.
Newbridge. Oh, Jimmy.
I think.
How about that one?
Yeah, no, there's something about Offaly.
That's a big game for both of those counties.
Awesome.
It is.
So Mickey Hart obviously got out with Declan Kelly. Flanagan's first year in charge with Kildare. I thought Kildare were. That league final was a weird one. Kildare just didn't perform. You know, if they played it that again, Offaly have the weapons to hurt them. But I think that's. Like the team that loses that, okay, it would be a big defeat, a big setback to where those teams are trying to get to. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot riding on that game. Like,
Offaly put up
maybe
home advantage
swings it maybe for Kildare.
225 Offaly put up the weekend. I think they have enough firepower to get over. I don't see Kildare having that much firepower outside of obviously Daniel Flynn being the main.
Flynn has made some difference though since he's come in. Like he's hit 4-7 from playing the two games. Like, again, repeated these two. I've seen Offaly a couple of times in the flesh this year. I also saw them in Navan, Crow Park, the league final. They've kept their team together this year for the Tailteann Cup. Last year, I think a lot of the boys went to the States or a good core of them. And from Dunnigan to Pearson to McDade in the full back line, obviously Cormac Egan and John Furlong in the half back line. Their midfield has impressed me. Jordan Hayes kicked 4 points there at the weekend. And then an attack, you know, we've spoken about these boys before, but Carl Flynn, Keith O'Neill, Jack Bryant, Dylan Hyland. Very, very tasty side there. I do think home advantage could do the job here for Kildare, though. I think they've targeted it, getting the job done in Flanagan's year. And I think Kildare might squeak over the line. My paddy on this one. My paddy on that one. We have a question in as well. Whose predictions have been better this year? And you must have missed it. Jeez. I topped the table. In the league, we haven't really kept a score since then. So we'll keep score this weekend after the Tailteann Cup. So, James, you've gone Offaly. We've gone Kildare. I'll let you take the lead there in Limerick Wexford. You're obviously going to give out there. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say I'm joint top, I think, from what I remember.
No, I have it written down here. Go on.
I think Limerick will beat Wexford.
Right.
For Limerick to have beaten Westmeath that day last week was a huge result. Mm-hmm. And they've actually been delivering some decent results all year. And we've kind of been waiting for them to fall off a little bit, and they haven't. Now Wexford are strong, but I fancy Limerick to win that one as well.
Okay, Paddy.
Limerick will win.
Go Limerick again.
Yeah.
Think they're
going to do a repeat on the league final. Okay, I'm going to go
league final. They were comfortable in that. I know the league final is a while ago, but I think that's one of the more straightforward ones. I'm thinking the possible upset.
I'm calling Wexford, by the way.
Wicklow. You're Conor Wexford.
Conor Wexford, yeah. I just like the look of them.
I'm happy for you to do that. I'm more than happy for you to
do
that.
Bit of fire. Sean Nolan flying. Brosnan still pulling the strings. Okay, you're calling an upset where? In Aucrum?
In Aucrum.
Our place to go. Get the groups with Luke Loughlin for Westmead.
Jesus.
Potential.
What about their half-back line though? What about Sam
McCartney? If there's an upset.
What about Ronan Wallace?
You feel it. This is your Monday minute, Jimmy.
You don't sleep on these fellas, Petty.
I know, hey. I'm playing against them. I just say, if there's an upset, I think that Auckland's a hard place to go, lads.
Is it tight pitch? Yeah. I've actually never been there.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're saying it to you as well, like what teams are kind of going all in at the Celtic Cup.
Yeah.
Because some teams, the reality is some teams have lost a lot of players and they, for want of a better word, throw their arse at it. Wicklow have a bit of momentum behind them. Look, paper you'd say Westmead should win the game, like, but I just think if there's an upset, that could potentially be the one.
Mm. I could see a potential upset, but I think Westmead are on a bit of a roll. I know they lost Limerick, obviously, but I think they have a lot of firepower.
Yeah, I think Westmead are getting the job done there. I like a lot of the Wicklow footballers, but I think Westmead are getting the job done in Aucrum. And then the last one, Fermanagh Sligo. I just think Fermanagh, again, another team that we probably slept on a little bit. I was getting a bit of stick in the power rankings that they're not high enough. I think I have them around 20th. Good side there that Kieran Donnelly has built. I think Fermanagh are in the semi-finals this year.
Wowzers.
What are you going for?
Oh, I think Sligo.
It's in Park. It's in Brewster Park.
Brewster Park. Brewster Park.
Oh.
I fancy Sligo. Like, Sligo are a good side.
Sligo.
There.
Sligo are a good side. Fermanagh top their group. They've obviously had a week off.
Yeah.
Sligo had to battle to a win the last weekend, but I'm going to go for the momentum rather than the rest. I'll go to Sligo.
Okay. And Paddy, are you in that boat or what are you thinking?
I'm going to go with a away win there.
You're going Sligo or an away win. All right, okay.
Sligo, yeah.
We'll see then who is top of the pops when it comes to the Touching Cup next weekend, boys. Didn't appreciate that little cup, but I'll take it. I'll roll with it. I'll roll with the punches. Daniela Cook has a question, Paddy. And we're moving on to the All-Ireland series here. Is there any positives for Dublin to look forward to this weekend? Why is the mood so low there, Daniela? Like, what are you worried about with the Dubs? Is it the fact that Conn's not back? Is it the fact that the 17-1, should they be that the favourites this weekend?
I think Dublin will win this weekend.
You do?
I think they beat Derry. Yeah, I do. I don't know. We spoke with them, was it last week's show, maybe looking through the lens of the All-Ireland, because that's what we're... That's what Dublin themselves, those players at that team will judge themselves on whether the All-Ireland or not, success or failure, similar to what Eagles are like at Kerry's UB. So we're looking at them through that lens, and I think it's a massive ask, the situation right now, to go win the All-Ireland. But in terms of this weekend, up in Jury, the way I'm looking at the Armagh performance in a positive light, and go, they've created that many opportunities, they will not be that bad in front of the post again. That's an aberration, but there's significant scope for improvement, things that you can work on over the next 2 weeks. I think every team is going to be better this weekend because the schedule is so intense for teams that we've seen high performances and 7 days later falling off a cliff. So everyone's had a little bit of a breather, a bit of a break. We don't know about Cod yet. We'll see. We'll probably know later in the week, but the word in the street was that the injury wasn't as bad as first feared, that he was going to be out for the championship or things like that. But whether it's this Saturday is too soon, but the reality is this weekend, it's knockout now for lots of teams. The knockout stage is here. And Dublin have to get a result. So I don't know, I'm positive going into the weekend. I think they'll be a lot better. There's things they can fix relatively quickly from what we see in the Armagh game. But as we said after that, the big thing that's plagued them all year is just inconsistent performances. You've said Dublin could go out and perform and beat Derry by 10 points, or they could be catastrophic and lose by 10 points. You know, that makes it an exciting thing to watch, but I'm positive about them on Tuesday night here. Come back to me next Monday.
Yeah, Shawnee Sugru wants to know what's going on with Conn. So give us the absolute inside scoop here. What's going on with Conn?
I don't have the inside scoop. He's just injured. Like. Yeah.
He got injured in contact, didn't he? Which is a strange way to do it.
Was he stretching for that interception? Do you know, like, was that it?
Maybe so.
Yeah,
but yeah. He's had a month.
If you look at hamstrings, 3 to 4 weeks at best. You know, your bad ones, it could be 8 to 10 weeks. all the kind of chat that I've heard externally is that it wasn't as bad as that. So if you look at the Galway game that Saturday, it's Salt Hill to this Saturday. Is that 4 weeks exactly?
Close, very close, yeah.
So and that's the thing, Dublin.
If they get 20.
The decision was they have to take risks.
20, know, yeah, because actually if they win, the way it's going to go, the way that you'd forecast it to go, the chance there they'd be really strong favourites to win the preliminary round.
Yeah.
Because they'd be second in the group.
Yeah, so you probably could risk Conn to an extent, even if it's for 20 minutes, get him on the field when the game's in the melting pot for that leadership. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they need. Oh, I find that game so hard to call. Obviously, Dublin can get so much better. They can improve in front of the post. They're never going to kick 17 wides again. They're never going to get caught for the three up three times again. Like everything that went wrong last time out, but there's just a kick in Derry, I think. You know, the leadership they have there with Glass and Rogers, with Guigan still looking for that something.
Yeah.
And there's the Dublin fullback line. could be.
We need a Christmas 2022.
We need a Christmas bingo card.
This could be the weekend to ignite him. And actually, a couple of the Derry supporters
got inside. He's not playing inside, Jimmy. That's a big thing, isn't it? Is Paddy Talley going to say, play him inside and try and take advantage? I think we'll see Shane McGuigan close to goal.
He was closer to goal against Galway. Just
game. The thing with both of these teams, Derry could be terrible as well. Like both of these teams have been, that's where they're in. It's do or die. That's where one of them is going out of the championship.
Surely, Paddy,
they've been so inconsistent.
When Derry have,
Derry's showed glimpses against Galway. That was their best performance.
They've been a long time,
probably a year.
They've been a long time looking. They've been a long time trying to unlock that in them. Like, and a lot of it was like, you look, take Niall Loughlin and his tackling and the pressing up top.
Yeah, the intensity
like
there.
Like, surely when you finally proven to yourself the little things that you need to produce a performance like that, that doesn't disappear in 2 weeks. Whereas, I know you're saying Dublin will be able to fix the three-up issues and the shooting things, that can be all ironed out. But surely that two-week gap doesn't mean you lose that feeling of what you produced against Galway, right?
But also, Tommy, I think Derry will play well at the weekend. That's why I think it's got to be a brilliant game.
Yeah.
But Derry have only won one match in normal time in a year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Do you know what I mean? So as good as that performance was against Galway, you know, Derry were relegated. You know, this is not the Derry team of... These two teams played each other 15 months ago in the National League final.
Less.
Dublin were the All-Ireland champions and Derry were back-to-back Ulster champions and won Division 1. We were at it, Tommy. Yeah. It was one of the best games of football I'd seen in years. And the drop-off for both of these teams since then has been huge. Like, who would have said 15 months later Derry would go on a run where they win one championship match in normal time against Westmead and Dublin don't even win the Leinster championship the next time they play. So it's... The thing that sets it up for a brilliant game, it's do or die. It's knockout championship, which we're all waiting for. Derry are in a similar situation with Dublin where they have four or five unbelievable players. Rogers, Glass, McGuigan, Ethan Doherty. You know, they have a couple of injuries as well, but Dublin have Kieran, hopefully Conn, Brian Howard, Scully, show glimpses of it the last day. And if those guys play to their potential, that they're a totally different animal. But the challenge for what Derry and for Dublin have had, these high and low performances, they haven't been able to do it consistently. And that's why they're in this situation. One of them is going to be out of the championship in the middle of June. And it's who could give that consistent performance. If Derry hit those heights that they did against Galway again, they have got a massive chance of taking Dublin out. And what Dublin shows up? Is it the one we've seen in Port Leash against Meath, where they may as well pack the bags, get out of there? Or is it the team that beat Galway at Salt Hill?
Yeah.
So that's why it's such a tough one to call. Both teams have exceptional players, and it's just who is going to deliver on the day. That's the question mark over both of these teams.
The thing with Derry, I think Derry have scores. I think Derry have a lot of two-pointers in them. If they need to kind of kick on or have a momentum swing, Glass and Rogers and these fellas can get up. And McGuigan, they're good kickers. They have the two-point threat in them. The other thing is they need to get Lachlan Murray on the field. Now, I actually was questioning the other week when we were doing the pod, why isn't he starting? But he did have osteopubis injury, by all accounts. So they're kind of minding him. But like, Dublin lets you play. Dublin are an open side, want to move the ball, kick it, open you up. But then they're like Man United under Ferguson. You know, like, you could go and play against them. It's like, if you were good enough, they'll let you play. So
are you talking about...
If they have...
Man United under Ferguson with you know, Darren Gibson and, you know, who else in midfield? Yeah,
they won
Raphael
like
and Fabio in midfield. Are you talking about that United? You're talking about United in the 90s? Is that the Dublin?
United in the 90s, when I'm saying that they'd let teams play and then they'd just be better than them. But I'm saying that Dublin let you play. If you want to actually kick the ball into full forward line, their space is there if you're actually good enough. And Lachlan Murray, if they can get him on the field, he can cause a lot of damage. So I'm interested to see if they're risking. I'd be putting him on from the start and go helter-skelter with McGuigan inside.
He's the type of player that could cause havoc for this Dublin defence. Yeah. He's so direct. He's so fast. He's
chomping at the bit as well. He wants it.
I hope I don't see Lachlan Murray there at the weekend. Yeah. It's a case of, like I said, him and McGuigan inside for 20 minutes or so.
But I
think it's going to be a brilliant game. It's one of a number of brilliant games over this weekend. I'm excited to be there. But I'm a confident hat on for the Dubs. I think they'll be able to do enough to win this game.
Would you? I think I'd leave Murray in the way he is, like that bit of anger coming off the bench with 30 minutes to play.
Not in this game.
Even with a lightweight bench.
His skill set is a perfect tool to take advantage of Dublin's weaknesses.
Okay.
Why would you not start?
Okay. That's interesting. Another big game in that group as well. We've got Galway up against Armagh. Possibly a favour, you know, done to Galway the previous week. Like, how does McGeaney approach this one, James? Like, who was making the point I heard during the week that you can't just take the foot off the gas? Might have been quotes I read from James Horan on the Examiner pod. You can't afford to take the foot off the gas here.
Yeah.
Like, can you? But, like, do you? Like, but they've got such a big panel. They can probably still put out a really strong team that are fighting for a spot to start.
It's a funny one. I mean, I know what Paddy really strongly thinks that Armagh will put out a second string team and arrest everyone. I think that he'll probably take out two or three and maybe two or three who are carrying knocks that need the extra week. I don't think he'll give everyone the week off because it's a long time then to the next game. I personally think they'll still give it a go, but if he does rest those three or four plus the one or two with carrying knocks, I think the Galway will win. I think the Galway have got away with absolute murder by getting a draw against Derry. Like, as in, they have survived by the skin of their teeth. I think the way the fixtures have fallen, that Armagh already through with a game to spare, we'll see them through. But I can't see Armagh just throwing their arse at it all together and putting a full new 15 on. I think they might make five or six changes to their big dogs and maybe a couple of injuries.
Okay. It's a hard way to probably play a championship game, Paddy, knowing you're already through, right?
The edge and the intensity won't be at their peak. And why would they be? Like with all the will in the world, but I know maybe they'll have some frontliners playing, but it's not do or die for Armagh.
No.
You know, so when push really comes to shove, is this peak Armagh that Galway are going to face? Absolutely not. It's not going to be. So it's not a case of Galway have been so good and Armagh are going to throw the complete arse at this and Galway win the match by 10 points. I don't see it going that way. But it's not peak Armagh. You know, the way the fixtures have fallen for Galway gives them a massive opportunity here. But we're talking about Dublin and Derry. I'm kind of unsure.
Yeah.
What type of performance they're going to put in. Galway have been unbelievably poor. Yeah. Unbelievably poor. From even, we said it, they won the Connacht final and for the second quarter in that match, they blew Mayo away. But the reality, we haven't seen that anywhere near enough from Galway in the championship. Their performance, I could not get over. I thought Galway were beyond the performance that they put in against Dublin and South Hill that day. I thought that the experience they had in the team, being the couple of All-Ireland finals, where they were at as a group, I couldn't believe how bad they were against Dublin. They were just not at the races, and it carried into the Derry match. And so they've got a third bite of the cherry here, and you would assume, with the experience they have and the quality they have, same as we're saying with Dublin, same as we're saying with Derry, that they'll deliver a performance at the weekend, but it is not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee, but the cards have fallen in their favour that they've got out of jail and now they're playing a team that's already top of the group. And it just, Armagh's focus is not totally on this match. And that's just the reality.
It's a lucky place to be.
Do you know what would have been interesting is Galway training the week after the game, because they played so poorly, right? And they've got away with murder. It's like they have a second lease of life if the players can take control of that dressing room again and get them back up for it. But like, I'm just looking at the game against Derry here again. The players they took off in that game, like Walsh, McDade, Conroy, Dylan McHugh, all gone off when the game was in the melting pot. Their championship was on the line, and Joyce has gone, no, come over and sit next to me. The dunt to your ego, if nothing else, that's hard to take when you're saying, we're about to go out here, we're fighting for our lives, but I don't want you on the field for this 5 or 10 minutes. Sit down here with me. So like, those are the fellas that he has to turn to now and say, come on, get us back at it. It just depends how they react. I expect them to react positively and get in that meeting with the players and say, lads, the last couple of weeks has been nothing near where we should be or where we are. And we have another bite of the cherry through sheer luck. But I mean, if they don't react that way, then they won't deliver this weekend either against Armagh. It's simple as that.
Can they recover from here to win the All-Ireland?
I Galway,
I think they can.
I think Galway were my favourites up to a couple of weeks ago, and they've just fallen off a cliff. I need to see a big reaction. I need to see Comer on the field and like that one big play, like Donaghy did for us with Kerry so many times. Your season might be going great. Next thing, Donaghy fetches a ball, gets someone out the way and bangs it into the roof of the net, or catches one and sets something up, and suddenly you're bouncing again. Everyone's like, whoa, yeah, this is what we were missing. It'd be interesting to see if he can provide that spark.
Yeah.
And they need to get Shane Walsh back fit, because Shane Walsh was nowhere near full fitness against Derry. He was nowhere near. They need him playing 8 out of 10 every week to get close to winning on Ireland, and he's not there yet.
It was a different system, right? Super 8's 2018. But like, can you see shades of your own season there? Obviously, you lose to Galway. Last minute equaliser to draw against Monaghan in Clonus. And then results don't go, and only two go through in the group, right? But
I think we fell into a trap because we lost to Galway. We lost to Galway, and then we had a meeting, and it didn't go great. It was like we didn't bounce back from that meeting. The meeting went poorly. I remember that. It was more of a like we were all just so down the dumps after losing to Galway that we didn't. We had a meeting that night because we were staying up in Dublin that night because we had an evening game. So it must have been a Saturday night game. Stayed that night.
And it was a week to the next game.
So we had a meeting that night. That night, you're wrecked. Like, you're shattered and you're emotionally done.
Let it breathe. Yeah, let it breathe for a minute. Like,
we didn't let it breathe. We had a meeting that night. I remember the meeting did not go well. And
in what way?
We were more pissed off going out of the meeting, I reckon, than going in. But we were all played so poorly as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do need to go in and just have a look at yourself. And next thing, when you're tired and cranky, you're nearly poking holes in everyone else rather than looking at yourself. That meeting, I just remember that meeting went.
That's madness, though, that should be.
Yeah, it was. Looking back, it was insane. But I suppose the idea was get the meeting out the way, park it in Dublin, and we're on for the next week. Like, you can see how it should have gone. But I suppose when you're tired and emotional, it didn't go that way. And then we kind of tore the team up a little bit for the Monaghan game, and begging cut, kick out, so flush, launched it down the field. My man has got a goal off it.
Yeah, you're 4 down at half time. Yeah.
Next thing, we were in serious trouble. And we got a draw. Clifford got a goal. Donaghy moment, caught it and slipped it to, or tapped it down to Clifford for a goal.
About the pass to and Donaghy. Then, don't be talking about that. It was all about the pass.
Well, division. And then we had Kildare at home. And like, it should have been a celebration of like a Killarney championship game. There wasn't many of those moments. And to be going down, I remember it was just.
But Galway.
Was dead.
Galway
the atmosphere was gone. We knew we were going out because Galway.
Galway wanted the dubs. Galway played a shadow team against Monaghan. They wanted the dubs that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a crazy call. They should have been in the All-Ireland final, Galway. And they lost that game.
I think they played their, I think they played their full team, but or close to it. But
again, if you're not in a do or die, you're not getting to the pitch.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
But you said, could Galway win the All-Ireland? It's a sprint to the finish line, though. The All-Ireland final is what, 6 weeks away. Mm. You get momentum now, and it could change very quickly. Galway have not been good enough over the last 3 weeks, and they put themselves in this situation. But do they still, literally 4 or 5 weeks ago, Jim, you said we have favourites for the All-Ireland. They have brilliant players. They have experience. Saturday can turn their season. I don't know if it will. Do I expect them to win the All-Ireland? I think there's serious red flags in what we've seen over the last couple of weeks that makes me really, really question that. But is it beyond the realms of possibility when they get this win, they get a performance from all of those guys, Conroy, Walsh, Comber. These are brilliant players. You know, and we were only during the league saying what a brilliant job Joyce is doing when they won the Connacht Championship without Walsh and Comber. Mm-hmm. Well, Joyce himself was saying we're building a team without those fucking two lads. So we can't praise Galway heavily as we have done. And they've a bad performance over the last month and they completely write them off. If they perform and those guys deliver what we know they're capable of for 50, 60 minutes even and win this game on Saturday, they are right back into the All-Ireland race. But what we've seen so far in the Championship, in the All-Ireland series, has been a million miles from All-Ireland contenders. Okay. And that's not news to them. That's not news to Pádraig Joyce or Paul Conroy or any of those guys. They know it's been shit. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Saturday is frame it as the opportunity. They win that game and it's full steam ahead.
For sure. So that is a double header in Group 4. The thing about this last, I know it's the end of this round robin system, but it's class having games on at the same time and things on the line and scores coming through. And
we should do a live reaction.
Watch it on GA Plus.
Me and Paddy are
both games right there.
Myself and Paddy
right
are
right there on your dodgy box.
Yeah. You're doing the hurling, Tommy. Yeah?
I'm doing Park Esther. I'm actually doing commentary. I'm actually looking forward to this. I'm doing commentary.
Yeah. Are you up there, Tommy? Are you there?
Yeah, 98 FM have commentary and they're obviously a sister station of ours. And
I'm going to listen to your commentary, Tommy.
Thank you. 98
FM. Jimmy, put it on GA Plus.
I'll listen to your analysis at halftime.
Yeah, you'll mute you. I'll mute you. Okay. So what's that? It's 98fm.com, and I can't believe I'm going to say these words. 98fm.com/upthedubs. That's where the commentary is happening.
Class.
I swear to God, yeah.
Are you wearing? Will I get you? I'll get you a sales. Maybe I won't. Add a Dublin jersey for Saturday night.
A Dublin hat. I think a Dublin hat. I'll go with that. Okay. That is Derry Dublin, Park Esler. I wonder, will DJ Kane have the bar open for his early, Paddy? We'll have to check.
I think he will.
I think he will this one. I think he will. 6:30 in Park Esler. And I think
we have a few rounds. Definitely. We've got a few invites to Royal County Down as well, Tommy.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, there you go. Number one golf course in the world, they say.
Yeah, well, I need to...
Jimmy, it's made for you.
I heard. There's a lovely... It's good for a draw. And my draw is spot on at the moment.
The football pod live from Royal County Down.
I'm in a tough spot with my irons at the minute, so I'm not going to go there till I fix that. Okay, let's go on to Group 2. We're actually going to take a quick break on the football and we're going to come back with the other three groups. So that's the doubleheader, 6:30 Saturday evening. We're going to come back with the other two games on Saturday in a minute on the football pod, brought to you every week with thanks to AIB. We will be releasing details for our yearly, annual big roadshow in Croke Park. The best way to build up to the All-Ireland football final. Whoever's in it, we'll be in Croke Park on the Thursday night before the Sunday. We'll be in the Hogan Suite on the fifth floor, premium level. You get to look in over this. I love that part, lads, looking in at the pitch. Yeah, you know it's getting class. Ready. Yeah, it's class.
No, when they put the football pad up on the screen in Croke Park as well. That's when it's like, we made it.
Yeah.
We're at the big time.
I'll edit it in my face this time, just in the corner. I'm only joking. So that is going to be ticket details coming out for that one very, very shortly. And AIB, of course, bringing us on the road. We're massive fans of our road shows and we're looking forward to having a good class review there the Thursday before the Sunday. So details to follow.
I say to you, just before we head to a break, speaking of the big screen in Croke Park, you may have seen myself and the great David Moran. Legend, Jimmy, your old comrade.
Absolutely.
We abseiled off the top of that fucking screen for Make-A-Wish Ireland.
It's worth saying, buddy.
Unbelievable charity. You heartbreaking charity.
Yeah. They do unbelievable work. You wouldn't be a big fan of heights, so, you know, you wouldn't be doing this other than the cause.
No, and it was a great experience to do it. Very cool thing to do. But I know we shared the link on the Football Pod Instagram. I put it up on LinkedIn and a couple of WhatsApp groups. And we got some brilliant donations. So just a massive thank you to everyone. I'm sure there's listeners I've seen who have donated. You two lads as well. Very generous.
No problem.
Just for an incredible cause. So great to catch up with David Moran. Dodgy enough hanging off the roof of the stadium at Croke Park, but brilliant to raise funds for the Make-A-Wish Foundation in Ireland. And it's the link is still going, T. You might share that again.
Good.
For a few more weeks. Any donations for an incredible charity. So thank you to everyone.
Did you make a race out of it?
No, we were.
Surely there was some element of competition between you. Did you interfere with his rope or anything?
We're holding hands going down, like eyes closed. It's like fucking Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible. The cool thing to do, lads. There was lots of companies there raising money for the charity, which was cool for Croke Park. So.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's nice. Fair play, buddy.
Fair play, buddy. We'll be back right after this talking about the other three groups in a massive weekend of football.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We're going to stick with Saturday evening, and we have got two teams that are already through alongside Armagh to the knockout stages. They don't know where they're going to finish yet. It's Kerry and Meath. They're meeting in O'Connor Park in Tullamore, 4:15. And at the same time, over the road in Portlaoise, there's probably 60 miles between Portlaoise and Tullamore, is there? 4:15, Cork against Roscommon. This game is on GA Plus. Why aren't you doing a double header? Why can't me get on the telly? We haven't been on the telly since.
We are doing a double header.
You're not doing bloody Kerry and Meath. Where's the?
Yeah, we're not doing Kerry and Meath.
I don't know about this now. Come on.
But am I right? I could be wrong here. Is Kildare Offaly on GA Plus as well?
I don't think so, because.
You're doing the two semi-finals.
No, there's war about that. Don't mention the war, because
you're
doing Leash and Tip, I think, in Portlaoise. So I think that's the reason why that's happening. Obviously, for
we're doing Cork Cross Common and Dublin Derry, and then obviously Galway Armagh as well.
Like, yeah, so
talk can't about, show them all. People give it out about GAA Plus. Fucking hell, where'd you be without it? Match has been on.
You're showing a lot. It's true. Showing a lot for sure, and a lot of good work too. Can I just ask you about Cork and Roscommon? So two teams who it just hasn't clicked for this summer. We were disappointed, I suppose, with Cork and how their kind of bounce from Munster. Their Munster semi-final performance is gone. They weren't great in Navan. They showed a little bit of something against Kerry, but not enough. And now they're playing the Rossies. The Rossies didn't show a huge amount against Kerry after the 48th minute. They were pretty good against Meath. They found a bit of form in the second half. But how do you see this game going? Like, do you know, if this game finishes a draw, Roscommon can go through without winning a game in the group. You know, Cork will go through if they win.
This is so hard to call. Like, this is an absolute coin toss for me.
But not in a good way, Jimmy.
No, neither side.
Both teams are equally flat. So
yeah, neither side are up to it. I'm just thinking, I mean, would the hurlers' success have any, I mean, would the footballers be getting any sort of a G up off it? I don't know, but they need something. Do you know, they need, like, it's on in Portlaoise. They're not going to have a big crowd there. I mean, Cork football fans are not going to travel to Portlaoise to support the footballers, especially with the hurlers going that well. So they're going to have to almost fight it out alone there. Roscommon, I saw Roscommon obviously in the Kerry match. I didn't think they were up to much either. I think there's more in Cork. I always say there's something in Cork that if they find that spark, they can get to a higher intensity than Roscommon can this year, I think. But is there that many scores across the team is probably debatable. I honestly find it very hard to call this game. I mean, I'd like to say the Cork are going to produce a performance, but I don't know. Will they or can they?
Very, very slight. Very, very slight favourites. I think the spread is a pint, Paddy.
Cork haven't shown a performance against anyone other than Kerry. This is the thing that they seem to get up for playing Kerry, obviously the tradition there, the rivalry, all that stuff, but they've been so disappointed in so many games. And the Rossies, I said it, they weren't great in the league. They could fell away in the second half of that league final against Monaghan. That was a worrying sign. You could have said, we're playing London at the Championship the following week, where they're taking the foot off the gas. We see them against Galway just be absolutely bullied, eviscerated at the Connacht Championship. And then the performance against Kerry, look, Lassie's going away to Kerry to start the All-Ireland series. It's not an easy game to try and get something out of, but there's just, I get the fear with the Roscommon where they're at, it just seems a bit stale. That it's just flat all season from them. It just doesn't seem like there's an energy or buzz about them. We know they've talented, technical players, but they're not even being able to get those guys into the game as well. Like, so these two teams, I don't think either team is in a good place. You know, it's a shootout for someone to get through. You know, the thing, they get through Saturday and then I can't see either of them winning the following week. You know, with any prolonging there, the agony, or they're putting off the agony of a championship exit. So it's a hard game to get excited for. It'll be close. Of course it'll be close. But I just think, I don't think either team is in a great place. I actually think Roscommon will probably win.
Yeah.
I think they've more scope. Cork is just kind of frustrated. I've no skin in the game with Cork, but they frustrate me watching them. They can reach the heights for 20, 30 minutes of the game against Kerry, and they never seem to get anywhere near replicating that against any other team. You know, I watched them a couple of times last season in the Championship as well at this stage. Like, I just keep going back to that. They played Loud, the preliminary quarter, did a skein. It was diabolical stuff. The fact that they reached that height in the Munster semi-final against Kerry and can't get anywhere near that again, what does that say about a team? You know, so.
But I mean, that game could have got away from him in the first half as well. And then Paddy obviously gets sent off. Paddy Clifford got sent off and it brought them back in. They had a spark then. It's like they had an artificial spark and next thing they were in and they could get something going. But I mean, the game has to be there from the start. I think the Cork had a better team. I do think the Cork had a better team.
I
think they're better than Roscommon. At the moment, I do think they are.
I think the
individually, they're better. I think Roscommon look out of ideas up front. They just don't look as dangerous as they were.
I'd love to see from Cork, like Daniel O'Mahony and these guys, they go after Clifford the last day, they're getting stuck into Joe O'Connor. Are they going to do that to Enda Smith, Kieran Burt, and these guys? Because that's Cork need. I think they should. That's what Cork need to do. That seems to be when they're at their best, when they're really aggressive, they're on the front foot, they put those runners, Manny Taylor, Powder and all these guys, they have weapons that can hurt teams, but we're talking about Galway, Dublin, Derry being inconsistent. Cork, I'd like to see that from them. I'm sure they're all supporters. I'm sure John Cleary would like to see that from his players, but it's so many times I've watched them over the last 24, 36 months and they let you down. So I don't think the Rossies are in a great place either, but I think if you were player for player, I think the Rossies probably have slightly better players. And Davy Burke might be able to get something a bit more out of that team, even though it looks like a stale year, even though they got promoted. But I think Roscommon might nick this one.
Yeah, they were. Do you remember the game in Páirc Uíomh? Similar kind of scenario. It was, I think, a shootout to get out of the group. And
Cork locked about you.
Yeah, very last play, didn't Cork get a score late on or
Ed Smith got set off. Yeah.
That was in the preliminary quarterfinals as well.
That got Cork
into a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
That was 23. Wasn't it 2 seasons ago?
Yeah. Look at these two, very hot and cold this season. And again, I've no idea.
Lukewarm. They were not even hot or cold, just lukewarm all year. Like.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, just meh. Kerry Meath, then there's not too much to get excited about in this one, in the sense that they're both already true. I would be a little bit surprised by the spread being 8 points. Like, that's
I think the spread's a bit high.
I know we're not all judging on that, but it just kind of jumped out to me a little bit. Yeah, because I think Kerry are in the same boat to Armagh here a little bit. Like, you're looking at some of the injuries they picked up the last day. Gainey, Clifford, did Barry Dan go off? Mark O'Shea obviously came in and made a big impact. We don't know where Dermot O'Connor is at, do we?
No, obviously, in fairness, the good thing I would say is that the camp is tight-lipped, because nothing is really coming out in terms of confirmation of what's happened. But I don't know, is Dermot going to tog this weekend? It just said that he got a knock in training. But
that would have been the big thing, though. In the Cork game was the injuries. And obviously the performances in the second half, the likes of Mark O'Shea and maybe Tony Brosnan or Kenny Splann, they added a little bit of sparkle to that game to get over the line.
I think Kerry are very strong on the bench in the forwards, and even one or two in the backs as well. But the injuries they're getting are in the middle of the field where, like, those fellas are a dime a dozen. The fellas who can get up and fetch, tackle, get up the field for a score, have the legs, have the energy, have the experience, have the guts. Those fellas, you need the Dermot O'Connors of this world all the time on the field. And he's a big loss to Kerry. Whether we'll win,
are you saying he's,
and not Ireland without him?
Is he out? But, is he?
No, I don't know. I hope he's not. But even if he is out for this weekend, I don't think that's the worst thing. But once we get back in the field,
I presume he's out for this weekend. Yeah, I doubt Paddy Clifford plays this weekend.
I doubt it. I'd hope not to see him, yeah, because you need Paddy firing as well for Kerry. When Kerry are playing their best football, Paddy's playing and distributing the ball to David, Paul Gainey, Dylan Gainey. He's kicking it. He's the kicker that they've been missing. So I hope they don't risk Paddy this weekend. But at the same time, you can't not risk everyone. Next thing you go and you lose to Meath, you're second in the group, and you're into a tough game then maybe in the preliminary quarterfinal. You've lost control of your season because you don't have the two-week break. So I think Kerry have to be careful. Oh, man, the injuries are ramping up. Like, I don't know how deep into the panel you can go.
Kerry are not going to lose to Meath. Even with the injuries.
Yeah, I think Meath just need a better Roscommon's result by 2 points to finish second. And a second place for Meath. And if you're looking... I know I'm not getting ahead of myself here, but if you're looking
permutations, at
the if you're looking at Premier quarterfinals and if you're looking and following the favourites and who might get through, you'd be seeing that Meath can only face, if they do finish second, Cavan or Galway in that third spot, if it ends up that way. Now,
Dobby, there's too much happening this weekend. there'll be upsets this weekend. So we were talking about it. We can hardly call. Sure.
I know.
Previewed four games. We can hardly call a result between us.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Meath to be true is the big plus. If they get into second place, I don't think they're going to get a lot from this game on Saturday, even though Kerry will obviously be under strength with some of the knocks and niggles.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
Be interesting. It might be a chance for me.
I don't think this game is going to be the big storyline of the weekend. Put it down.
No. Meade might give a couple of fellas on the fringes a run as well, because they might want to beef up around that middle third. They just need options.
The middle third, if you win the middle third, and I mean win it well, win it strong...
Mm-hmm.
You're winning both kickouts. You're first to the break. You have the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
You can, under the new rules, you will win the game. Like, you will win the game if your conversion rate is half decent. So that's where I'm a little bit concerned that Kerry's injuries are around that area. And that is something that Meath have strengthened this year. They're strong in the air. They're good aggressive on the breaks. And they can transition well. So...
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Roland Jones is not a cut and dry.
Ronan Jones are bringing an awful lot to that Meath midfield. You know, he would. And I think Jack Flynn is injured at the minute as well. So what I would like to maybe see is another option or two that might get a chance in a quarterfinal or a preliminary quarterfinal with 15 minutes to go. Maybe start against Kerry. Because if Kerry are starting Mark Shea with Joe O'Connor in midfield, that might be a chance to give somebody a run that maybe hasn't got a huge amount of minutes. Okay, let's go to Sunday and the early games. Clarenlough is a shootout, again in Port Laois. You know, we've obviously seen, and we could understand in ways maybe the slump that Loud had, right, after the highs of the Leinster final and making history. They've fallen short in two games now against Monaghan and against Down. The two-week break, that gap, is that enough time for them to get their stuff together and just take care of Clare this weekend? Do you see that happening? Is it that straightforward? Obviously, a Clare side that racked up a decent score early doors against Monaghan, but Monaghan pulled away in the second half with the win. So, would you be expecting that?
Loud will win this game.
Mm-hmm.
They overcomplicate. They're a better team than Clare.
Yeah.
They are.
We've seen that.
Of all the teams to need a break and just a refresh and a reset, Loud needed it. They were outplayed by Monaghan. Monaghan are probably a better team than Loud. But I thought there was enough of their performance against Down. They easily could have won that game. I think Loud will have reset. This is a game they should win, and I expect them to win it. Like, I know Peter Keane was pissed off after the last day. Clare just... They're one of the teams that they've struggled in this format. They get into the All-Ireland series, but it's a big ask to get a result. I think their best bet was to win their first game against Down in Cusick Park. That kind of took the wind out of their sails. They were well beaten. I'd be amazed if Loud didn't get the response and win this game and get through.
Yeah, Yeah, no,
just you'd be expecting players, Toby. Just,
but it's like we know the standard of this Louth team, and, yeah, and probably what they're looking,
yeah,
for. Like,
exactly.
So you'd be, yeah, James, I presume you're in the same boat. Will we move on to Down in Monaghan?
Yeah.
Shootout for top spot in the group here. This is the big one. It's on RT on Sunday. Monaghan are coming in as favourites, but like what Laverty has done with that downside, the kind of the growth that we've seen, it's probably, look, they've you know, put up big scores now in a lot of their games. Even in Division 2, they fell short in a lot of games, but put up big scores and have done it again. So that's an interesting game. And two teams is, that are just fighting it out for top spot.
Exactly. The reward is gigantic in that,
yes,
game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can overstay how big a game that is, because for either of these sides, if they top that group, they will genuinely feel like they have a chance at getting, at going on again even. Because they'll be but I mean, like, that's the carrot. A semi-final, if you get the semi-final, you have had an incredible year. If you are down, you get to a quarter-final, you've had an incredible year, of course. But if you get the semi-final, I mean, like, that is unbelievable. And the way the route is, if they can win that game and top the group, they get a favourable draw from a team who's just played the week before, could be tired, and you can win that game, and on you go. I think that Monaghan are the better team. I think that Monaghan are playing unbelievable football. They have such a fast half-forward line, half-back line. They want to get up in it and support the attack and take you on, and they're just dynamic. They're good to watch. I think Branning has done a great job there, and obviously Andy Moran's the coach. You can tell he's added a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
They look confident in attack. They look like they're playing. They look like they're ballers. It's like, yeah, they just look so comfortable with the ball. They're playing a great brand of football.
Yeah,
Down will try and break them down, I think. It'll be a bit like Inter Milan.
They know each other so well, Jimmy. Both these teams know each other so well. That kind of down runner game, I just think Monaghan will be really well prepared for that.
Yeah.
And Monaghan have been such an impressive team. You could have won Division 2. I keep saying this, but I did not expect that from them this year. I thought they might be in for a bit of pressure after a decade in Division 1. Obviously losing McManus. Was Beckett going to come back at all? I just kind of teed up that Monaghan could have a tough season this year. We knew how competitive Division 2 was going to be. But they have been so impressive. Their scoring rate, their variety of scorer, they're very well coached, you can see that. That's what I think. They'll just be well set for Down. Down's progress,
yeah,
you're right, Tommy, has been exceptional. That was one of the standout results of the first weekend of the All-Ireland Series, that they went to Clare. What was seen as kind of a big game and an even game, and they blew them away, and that kind of took the pressure off them, and then to back it up with their winning jury, it's a free hit. I do agree, the carrot for one of these teams, the way the draw has looked, has set up for them, is massive, that the winner fancies their chances of getting into like semi-finals, you know, and what an achievement that would be for either of these teams. But I just think Monaghan have been very solid all year. I don't think they'll fuck this one up, and I just think they'll have too much for that deal too.
Yeah,
I agree. I think Monaghan are the better team.
If Monaghan let this opportunity slip of topping the group and getting straight into an All Ireland quarter final, given the trajectories of both teams, I don't know if they'd forgive themselves for that one. So
they're upwardly mobile, but they're not at where Monaghan are yet.
Okay, they're the early games on Sunday. So I'm taking from that we're expecting the group to go Monaghan, Down, Louth. Because Louth would obviously, Down would have Louth on the head-to-head, right? So that group, that's what we're expecting here, right? Monaghan, top the group, straight to the quarterfinals, Down, Louth. We're expecting, I take it, in group two, Kerry to get the better of Mead. So Kerry, Mead. And then what are we saying? Are we saying Cork? Paddy, you're gone, Roscommon.
I think Rossi's, Jimmy Scala with Cork.
Okay,
what do you think, Tommy?
I think it's so hard. Lukewarm is the way to put this. I think the Rossies will get over the line. I think they will. And I think their year will end in the preliminaries, but I think the Rossies will get over the line. And then in group one, so, you know, this is the one, before we get on to the final group, right? Group one.
Group of death.
Oh, group four, sorry. I want to get your take here. Group four. Armagh top the group. That's already done and dusted. Okay. The Dubs are playing Derry. So we're expecting Galway. Are we expecting Galway to beat Armagh, given that Armagh have nothing to play for?
Yeah.
Right.
I think Galway beat Armagh. Just because, they're fighting for their lives and Armagh aren't.
So essentially, that gives Galway the third place, right? Okay. They probably, I think it's so they'd have Derry then. No, it'd be
so the loser Dublin Derry is out then.
the loser of Dublin Derry is out, yeah. Or if it's a...
Yeah.
Yeah, so Derry need to beat Dublin.
For me, that's 50-50.
Dublin could draw it. So, what are we saying? Like, what are we saying here? Are we saying it goes...
I think Dublin would. I think we are about Dublin, Galway, and Derry will be out of the championship.
I think Derry are out of the championship.
If I was to watch a game the weekend, I'd be watching this game.
Yeah.
Dublin, I think Derry. It's the best quality game with something on the line, something real on the line. And I think that Derry can get to a pitch and they can wobble the Dubs, but it's so hard to back against them. Do you know, Dublin will probably win. I just think it's going to be so close.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to make life easy for you, right? I'm going to say that the Dubs are going to get over the line. And if you're saying it's a 50-50 game, you're hardly going to go Dublin here, are you?
Yeah, no, in that case, I'll go Derry, so.
Right,
I think
okay.
Derry have a chance.
But in our predictions, we're saying the Dubs are
finished. Of course they have a chance. Derry have a chance. Fuck, of course they have a chance.
Okay. The final group.
This is so tight, and we don't know what way either of those teams are. Yeah. That's why it's such an exciting game. That's why people are looking forward to seeing it. What version of either of these teams will show up.
Yeah.
But there's brilliant players on either side, and you just want to see those guys deliver. And if they do, we're in for fireworks.
Dublin Derry is the sexy version of Cork Roscommon.
Oh, I wouldn't even.
Okay, yeah.
That is actually a great game.
I was at the league game earlier this year, and Derry were diabolical, and Dublin absolutely annihilated Macrow Park.
Yes, I know.
We were at the league final in 2024, which was one of the best games again in football I'd seen in years. Derry came out on top of pedos. So I think it's going to be a classic on Saturday night, but I'm going by Dubs, my boys.
Okay. Let's get to group one, Rads, because this one, four teams on 2 points. Cavan have the head-to-head on Mayo. Tyrone have the head-to-head on Donegal. Donegal have the head-to-head on Cavan. Everything is on the line, as we said. We've got the Hyde on Sunday evening. I'll be there for Off the Ball. It's also an RT. And then at Brewster Park, we've got Cavan up against Tyrone. Cavan obviously getting an absolute scutcher the last day against Donegal. Tyrone had obviously produced that big performance against Donegal. We're flat, totally flat against Mayo then the next day. And then Mayo producing that performance the last day to get the win against Tyrone. So they have a chance. They're up against Donegal. It's in a neutral venue. In the Hyde, I won the.
No point
in
talking about Mayo, Tommy. We have no idea what Mayo are going to play like. No idea.
Well, we have one comment here. Let's get to that. Before you say that, James, before you say that, we have one comment here. It's from Decky. And he said, Tommy, can you please, please ask James to write off Mayo this week? It worked a treat for us last time around.
I've written him off every week for the last 3 years.
One more time.
I wouldn't write them off, but I definitely think that Donegal are going to win this game. I mean, I'd be very surprised if they didn't. Donegal are the better side. They got caught against Tyrone. They've obviously fixed a few things against Cavan. I don't think that they're going as well as maybe they hope they'd be going. I do think that the whole way they play takes so much out of them. They have so many things have to be right in terms of energy and hunger and drive. It's like nothing comes easy to the way they play because they don't kick it. You know, like sometimes you're playing poorly, but you can have two or three kick passes, the ball's over the bar, you're facing the opposition kick out. Next thing you win that. Suddenly you have 3 points on the board. Whereas when you're running hard and everything is off a script, it's a little bit draining at times. That's the way I feel looking at them. I wonder, can they keep it going all the way under this format to the All-Ireland? As for this weekend, though, with the week's break and what's on the line, they should have enough to beat Mayo. I think that Tyrone will have enough to beat Cavan. I think Tyrone will top the group. Donegal will be second.
And Cavan will be third.
Okay. And unfortunately for Mayo supporters, I think that Mayo will lose out on the head-to-head with Cavan. Yeah. But if, I mean, this sounds awful, but Mayo deserve to go out for losing to Cavan. Because Mayo are better than Cavan and they took their eye off the ball in that game. And, you know, Galway got lucky with the fixtures and that they can still go through. Whereas I think Mayo will come up short even after the win last week or 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. Paddy, are you in the same boat there? I know you're saying there's no point talking about Mayo, but when I did my predictions before the pod here, that's the way I mapped out the group. I mapped out Tyrone, Donegal, Cavan Mayo. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it will, doesn't, yeah.
I think Tyrone will be Cavan. Yeah, repeated at Ulster Championship. They played earlier this year. Tyrone were worse. Tyrone were as bad against Mayo as Galway were against Dublin the previous week. They were so flat at Hinkley Park. It was really disappointing. I was kind of looking forward to seeing Tyrone in the flesh after a win, a brilliant win against Donegal and Ballybuffet, but they'll be a lot better. There was a lot of emotion in that Mayo performance. They kind of went back to basics with Rochford, a couple of tweaks, how they used Aidan O'Shea. They kind of outwitted Tyrone a little bit, to their credit, and they just absolutely dogged them out of it. But they're coming up, just the way the fixtures have gone. Donegal have to perform, and their season's on the line for it. I cannot see Mayo beating Donegal at the weekend. I just cannot. Donegal, they're a better team than Mayo. They're a much better team than Mayo, I would say. Better players, just in a better place as a team. I'm sure Mayo fans are probably delighted hearing that. Write them off, backs to the wall, that's when they're at their best traditionally. But I just think the fact that they're playing this Donegal team is just bad luck on Mayo's side. I don't think they're going to get a result. And you're right, Jimmy. The thing that's going to fuck them is that opening day performance against Cavan. I think Tyrone will beat Cavan, but the head-to-head is going to get Mayo. And you know what? Rightly so. This is the knockout stage of the championship. We've been waiting for this. Yeah. The championship, there's been brilliant matches. It's been unbelievably entertaining. But it is the time now. Teams have to perform. Teams have to get results. And I just see...
You shouldn't get away with that result.
Exactly.
You
shouldn't get away. Exactly. So I think that's ultimately what's going to cost Mayo.
This will be a massive
shock if they beat Donegal, I think.
I agree. If say we have gotten it wrong here, and just say Mayo beat Donegal, that Mayo will be on 4, Donegal will be on 2. If Tyrone beat Cavan, Tyrone will be 4. Donegal
will go out head to head. Yeah. Donegal.
Okay, so the way that you put the cat amongst the pigeons is if Cavan beat Tyrone.
If Cavan beat Tyrone and Mayo beat Donegal, you got Cavan, Mayo, and Tyrone through. That's the only way Donegal will go.
Do you know what? There'll be an upset somewhere.
There will.
All those games are going to go like that. There will be an upset somewhere.
Not a hope.
Yeah. What is the big story from where we're tuning in next Monday night?
You know what? That's going to be fun. That is going to be a fun pod because it's going to be an absolutely cracking weekend of football. 8 counties are going to be gone. There are going to be 4 Tatcha Cup quarterfinalists gone and 4 teams in the group gone. 8 teams gone this weekend. Can I ask?
Tommy, two big teams are going to be out of the championship this weekend.
Massive. Huge.
So that's another. 4 teams going out, but 2 big, big counties are going to be gone.
It's a big weekend. I hope you have no plans and that there's nothing big going on for you this weekend and that all you can do is put the feet up and watch the football.
US Open is on, Tommy. We're already going to bounce back.
Exactly.
Shells Rovers Friday night on the box as well.
Oh, look at me, bro. I've 2 more questions.
I'll be there.
Right?
I'm at it. I'm in Palco Park. I'll be there.
Two questions, right? One of them I'm going to answer myself because I'm an expert on it. And the second one, I want you to actually think about it and give me just a bit of advice. For somebody in your club who's in this situation, what would you say to them? What would you tell them, right? First bit of advice is, lads, give us a technique for kicking 2-pointers against the wind. As the resident expert on that in the pod, I'm just going to say, don't kick it against the wind. Don't go for 2-pointers against the wind. Don't be forcing it.
Put it underground.
Well, free
put
take.
That baby down.
For sure.
Against the wind. The only way you're kicking against the wind.
It's an agricultural outside the boot.
It's an outside of the boot.
And that's not where you want
to
be.
If you drop that short, your team is looking at you thinking you dick.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Do not take that shot. That's the it's a trick question.
As somebody.
I'll tell you what you do in that situation. You wind up for it.
Yeah.
And you go for the dummy solo. And I know for a fact that a fella will come in with a diving block. You go around them. Next thing, you're 6 or 7 metres inside the arc, you chip a nice point. Finger wag, off you go back to your position.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Fantastic. And now, the second question. So, no sniggering, please. No little elbows or dunts. I want you to have a think about it. A 17-year-old in your club who wants to break onto the senior team, what bit of advice would you be giving them, right? So our candidate here, he's probably plays his football in the middle third. He's a left footer. He actually kicks frees for his minor team. And then he's training with a senior team at the minute, but he's keen to break onto the starting side next year when he gets through. So I know it's a tough question. you don't know who I'm talking about, but it's a question that's come in actually twice, and I haven't asked it. So I want you to, what would you say to a fella in the Legion, James, who, you know, there's a bit of something there, you want him to give himself his best chance next year?
If there is a bit of something there, we have a couple of fellas at the moment with the Legion. We have a couple of very, very tasty fellas coming through.
Mm.
I think the main thing that I'd be looking out for is that they don't get too involved or too caught up in, you know, tactics and ways to play. Like at that age, you should be still developing physically, skills-wise, getting used to being around a new team and new group and around men. I mean, that's hard in itself. You're 17 years old, you're landing into a group of...
You mean fitting into the dressing room?
Fitting into the dressing room and just being around people outside of your own age group and dealing with different personalities and, you know, probably having people give out to you a bit more and things. So yeah. I think it's more of a case of just settling in at 17. I wouldn't be putting any pressure on anyone to make the team or be fantastic at 17. Just don't get caught too much up in tactics and team meetings about this and that. Just take a bit in if you can, but most importantly, just get physically right. It's a long career. It's a long journey. You need to put down the building blocks, the 17-year-old, to make sure you're playing come 32, 33. So make sure that's right. Enjoy the training. Don't put too much pressure on yourself and just get used to being around a completely different generation of people, which can throw you in itself.
Yeah. Very mature, Paddy. This is your part to step in. What would you say?
Yeah, like, I'd talk to your coach first and foremost to see exactly what he wants. Don't put whatever the fuck. We've no context there. Don't know what the team, the way they play, are the team in a good place or they're a bad place? What are they trying to do? Where are they short? What, you know, he says he's the middle third. You know, are they looking for a midfielder? So do you need to focus on that? Are they looking for a wing forward, whatever it might be? So talk to your coach. And go, what do you see as my strengths? And is that useful? And where do I fit into your plans? So that's where you're going to get the best feedback. He's the guy you have to impress. The other thing is, just, I agree with you, you don't need to be in a rush here. Like, I know you're mad for around and I was the same. We're all the same when we're young and you want to play and get into the team. Just the one thing I'd say, try and understand, it took me years to do this, what makes you a great player? What are your strengths? Because there's no point in you as a 17-year-old going in trying to work on your weaknesses when you're getting your first game for the senior team. Because I'm going to work on my left foot in this game because there's no patience playing with a 30-year-old or a 31-year-old and this 17-year-old is trying to fucking start shooting on his left foot. You know, you need to work on that away from the spotlight and develop that. What are you really good at and bring that to the senior team now? If you're going to get a start or you're going to get a run, you know, do the simple things. Do the things that make you a good player. So understanding that in your own game yourself. But I just... The way you listen to me or you, Tommy, or Jimmy, talk to your coach.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I want to do. Is that right? Because some players are really self-aware and they'll know what their strengths are. They'll know what the weaknesses are. They'll know what the team need. Other players are not. So have a conversation with the coach. He's the guy who's going to give you the best feedback. I need you to do X, Y, and Z. Do you have clarity then when you go out on the pitch training and when you're going to perform in a match?
And you know, one more thing, if you want to impress your teammates and if you want to get better, stay on after training. Do not be running in, changing into your shoes and getting out and your mother collecting you in the car or something, or you're driving off with the lads. Stay on the field for 15 minutes after training. Everyone will notice it. You'll improve. It's just the right thing to do at that age. You need to be the one out there, not before training.
All the time. Yeah. This guy sounds like he's mad for road, so...
Exactly. And I think...
Skills, pay the bills. Do the work.
I think it's better after.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. Any club, you get seen more, do you? Is that what you're saying?
What? For after?
After, yeah. You get noticed.
It's like, yeah, he's doing extra.
Just do it to get better. Fuck if anyone sees it. You have to do it. If you want to get better, you have to do it.
Yeah, but beforehand, there's always like, there's activation. There's this. It's like it might not happen. It's like next thing, there's a huddle called and you're like, oh, lads, I'm trying to kick my thing. There's no one annoying you after. And it's just, it just, I think you're doing, it feels like you're doing the extra bit. It's good mentally, I think, to do it after training. But yeah, that's only my opinion.
First, that's fair, lads. Very fair advice. Good work on the pod this week. We doubled up. It's a double pod. And for the big week that's ahead. So thanks for your time, James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews. Very best of luck this weekend to you both. I will be chatting to you over the weekend. Paddy, I might see you in Parkhurst.
See you on Saturday there, Toby. Yeah. Great James, little I'm stadium sure. there up in Parkhurst. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Sorry. James, I'm sure the WhatsApp will be hot.
I'll shoot you a text. It's soundless. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
He had his 8 points in that Lennon's.
Well, no, not this weekend. Plus.
No, not this weekend. Come on, Jimmy.
I say my word. Okay. Let's see.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue. We'll leave it at that and we'll talk very soon. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Bye bye.
All right, boys.
Good night, friends.